Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 14,
Episode 7.
This is Writing Excuses. How weird is too weird?
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Margaret.
My friends used to call me How Weird.
How Weird is Too Weird.
That was like fourth grade. That was fourth grade and junior high.
Well, we're going to theme this again. This is our year of world building. So we're talking about how weird is too weird specifically in our world building. And let me just ask, how do you, and I kind of want to bounce this off Margaret first, because she's the one we've heard the least from regarding these topics. How do you balance the familiar and the strange in your storytelling?
Well, it depends to a certain extent on the media that I'm working on for that particular project. But in television, one of the rules of thumb that I sort of inherited from my training and my experience is the idea that you get one buy. Like, early on, you're setting up, you know, the beginning of your film or the pilot episode of your show, and you get to ask the audience to believe one big thing. And everything else has to sort of follow on from that. I mean, just an example of a show that no one has seen because it never actually turned into a TV show, but I was working on a show called Day One for NBC, and the buy for that was these giant alien monoliths suddenly erupt out of population centers all over the Earth, and this is the vanguard of an alien invasion. It would have been a really cool show. But that's the one thing we get. We don't get that and armies of flying elephants and dolphins can now talk. Like, you get the one thing, and past that, everything either has to come from those monoliths and the alien invasion, or it's got to be rooted in the familiar world that the audience is already going to be familiar with.
That's and, you know, really there is a flip side to that coin that gets cited a lot by apologists and whiners of all flavors. And that's, you know, oh, you can believe in a universe that has dragons, but you can't believe in a sword that cuts through a horseshoe. Well, you didn't say it was a magic sword. A sword can't cut through a horseshoe. I will totally believe in dragons because they gave me, that was their one buy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they want to tell me that dragons cut through horseshoes, that's fine. I can probably absorb that and say that their one buy is magic exists and that includes creatures, but you have to pay attention to this. You don't just get to throw these things down because, oh, hey, it's magic.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, Margaret, would you take that same perspective on fiction, the one buy, or would you kind of say that's a short form television thing?
I think it depends a lot on the expectations of your audience, you know, and the genre that you're writing in. When I'm working on book burners, this is very much designed to be in the vein of something like X-Files or Warehouse 13. And, you know, it's that urban fantasy sort of setup. So the assumption is that the world works basically the way we assume that it does. But also there's this encroaching magical force that is coming into the world that causes this. We don't get that and the major power, you know, and the Vatican doesn't exist. You can only shift around so right. many things before it starts to feel arbitrary. And what you want to do is make sure that you're setting your audience up in a way that they know where they're standing and what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. As you were talking, I was thinking about China Mieville. Mm-hmm. Like with the new weird movement, the basic buy is stuff is going to be weird. Mm-hmm. We're going to have women whose heads are bugs, not the head of a bug, but their head is a bug. But gravity works the way gravity works. Electricity works the way electricity works. So if China were attempting to do stuff is going to be weird, I'm not going to explain the physiognomy of any of these creatures, but and also gravity doesn't work the way you think it does, that would be two buys. So I think that you can do kind of a blanket buy in terms of this is sort of a genre expectation thing.
Right. Yeah. Say, I'm thinking of like Hitchhikers, right? Where there is not one buy. The buy is nothing will make sense, but it will be funny. Mm-hmm. But I do think genre expectations are a big deal here, right? When you pick up an epic fantasy that's 1,000 pages long, it's secondary world, you are going on board for, I'm going to get a lot of world building. Mm-hmm. When you sit down to watch a new show that's been pitched to you as a science fiction thriller with a singular hook premise, you want that premise to be the focus of the show, not, and then this other thing.
Well, you brought up Hitchhikers. I assume you're talking about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Yes, so much weird. And the reason they get away with it is that the narrative voice would take some of the weirdest, you know, hey, boy, this came out of you, came at you from left field. I'm going to now use the opportunity to explain it as an opportunity to be funny and to satirize something that you didn't see coming. And so as that extreme weirdness happens, the voice sells it in service of something else. And I think that's where that's where I draw the line. You want to make it weird.
The familiar in the Hitchhiker's Guide.
The voice is the familiar.
You as the reader have a literal guidebook to all of the strange stuff that is going on in those books.
Plus, the point of Hitchhikers is that you are Arthur Dent. And so the expectation that has been thrown down is everything is just going to seem strange.
Everybody else gets this, but you. Yeah. That's kind of the joke. Let me ask this then. Have you guys experienced media or read books or stuff where the world building was too outlandish for you that it was hard for you to get into?
Yes. And I'm going to apologize for it because I loved it anyway. Ian Banks, Look to Windward, the opening sequence is a war battle thing in which we are just immersed in the POV of an alien who is essentially a six-legged giant ferret. And he never says, these are six-legged giant ferrets. I never get all at once a description to tell me where I am. And I read the first chapter and was lost as to who I was until I got to the end and thought, oh, I was actually kind of disappointed. Oh, these aren't people. It felt kind of very human. And then I read it again. And reading it again, I was fine. I felt like I was the target audience for this. That I was absolutely the target audience for any Ian Banks novel. But that first chapter was too weird on first reading. Ian Banks, his one buy for me is, if you have to read it again, read it again. This is going to be fine. You're going to love this. It's going to be okay.
Hey, writers. Are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's stop for our book of the week, which, Mary, you're going to give to us.
Yeah, so this is The Nine by Tracy Townsend, which is, for me, right on the edge of too weird, but in ways that are, I finished the book and have been recommending it quite a bit. It feels like London, and it feels like a steampunk London, but there are these other creatures that are going through, and it's taking advantage of the many worlds theory. So it's a version of our London, but definitely on a different world. And there are these creatures that have their eyes in their feet.
That's different.
And so there's all of this very solid world building that goes from that single premise. But my brain is like, why would that evolve? And then trying to picture it and trying to understand how it all works. So they tend to be arboreal. They tend to do a lot of moving through trees. They have ferocious teeth, but they have no eyes in their head. Their eyes are in their feet. And for me, I think one of the lines for me on the weird factor is how much time I spend trying to picture it in my head and if that's going to throw me out of the story. Now, I pitch this as Book of the Week because I think it's a terrific heist novel. It's got great character building. The steampunk makes sense. Frequently when I read steampunk, it's like, this does not, none of this makes sense. There's so much to love about this book, but if you were looking for something that is like, all right, things are going to get weird. The non-human races in this world are weird. There's also tree people who are will shave their bodies, plane their bodies to take on specific shapes in order to cater to humans. It's like there's so much stuff in this book. It's just filled with what? There's a ton of that, but mostly the reason you read it is because great characterization. And just a thrilling heist novel.
Awesome. That was The Nine.
By Tracy Townsend.
So tell me this, Mary, when you're working on short fiction, how do you budget your weirdness?
It's actually surprisingly like television in that you do pretty much get the one buy. You get the one thing that is, this is weird. Mostly because everything that you put on the page, you have to spend words on to explain to the reader. And so when I'm trying to get the reader to understand something, I know that it's going to throw them out of the story. And proportionally, that's going to take more of the narrative than it would in a novel, even the same number of words. So I tend to also do one by for short fiction. And usually the short story is something that is exploring that one idea.
You know, something Margaret said earlier really kind of hit with me. We will have a podcast later in the year about how to make a story have world-building depth rather than just breadth,
mm-hmm.
Which is the idea of taking concept and digging deep into it. You said earlier this monolith story that you were working on, the idea being that you get your one buy as the monolith, but that doesn't mean that can be that has to be the only weird thing. You are just going to connect any other interesting science fiction fantasy elements through the monoliths.
Right, right. The idea in this series, and I think I can safely talk about what we might have done had this been a thing. My apologies, Jesse Alexander, if I'm spilling anything here. But, you know, in the pilot episode, there are these giant monoliths and everybody is dealing with the fact that these things have erupted out of the ground. After that, other strange things starts to happen, but it kind of comes at you one at a time. And I think that speaks to what Mary was talking about in the short story and the idea of, you know, that subjective line of how weird is too weird. You know, when you lose your audience, it's too weird. Mm-hmm. Anything up to that point, not too weird. When I started in film school, one of the things they told us that the only firm rule of screenwriting is you can't be too boring for too long.
Yeah, try to cut the boring stuff. Yeah,
that's a really good rule
for
everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I've thought about this a lot when I've been teaching my class. I've said to my students, you know, world building is the place where you generally are given more leeway. If you can keep your characters relatable, it doesn't matter how weird it gets as long as that character remains familiar. Now, sometimes that character, you want to be part of the weird, and then you're going to do other things to ground us. I really like what we've come up with, this Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy thing, where, you know, the guide is the normal, and everything else can be a little weird or a lot weird.
I'm thinking about this in terms of budget, and let me give you an analog or an analogy. The concept of social capital. People will often ask me, "Oh, will you plug my Kickstarter?" Well, I have a limited amount of social capital. If I plug your Kickstarter, then I'm digging myself into a hole when the time comes to plug mine. As you are writing, as you are introducing weird things, as you are spending time on exposition, but it really needs to be exposed, as you are spending time on navel-gazing, but you really want to dig into this emotion, all of these things are coming out of a budget. And I don't know how exactly readers quantify the budget as they are reading, or television viewers quantify that budget. But if you think about it as a budget, you are doing a thing that is challenging the reader, and if you go too far, you lose them. And boring is challenging because a slog is challenging. How weird is too weird? When you've gone over budget, it's too weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I would rely a lot on your beta readers, on early looks at things. Also, I think learning curve, we haven't even touched on in this, but I do think if you add your weirdness on slowly, building off of other weirdness, then you can have things that feel perfectly normal by the end, that if you would have thrown at the reader in the first chapter, you would have been in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to do our homework. Margaret, you've got our homework this time.
Yes. The homework today is to, or your homework today, if you choose to accept it, take a project that you are working on and figure out what your one buy is. Can you narrow down to one science fictional or fantastical element that is the core to the story you are telling and have everything flow from that?
Excellent. This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production, jointly hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor. This episode was mastered by Alex Jackson.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.